This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Gervach. Can I hold this? Gervach, everyone. It's an honor to be here at this beautiful Malava Malka. I want to share with you something very interesting, something personal. I've been speaking, 10, 15 years. I was once invited to speak for post-seminary girls, which is not my typical audience. Usually I'll speak to Bachrim, adults, across the entire strata of Jewish observance. But post-seminary girls, that's not my specialty. And when you speak to a new audience, you want to cultivate some kind of connection with the audience. So I just threw out there, I just came back from the airport yesterday where I dropped off my own daughter for seminary. And the Friday night, before I dropped her off to seminary, at Kiddush, thinking, this is the last Shabbos I'll be together with my daughter until she comes back, I was crying during Kiddush. Now, I just threw that out, Agav Orcha. It had nothing to do with the subject matter. I was speaking about Yamim Naroim, inspirational words for the high holidays. And one girl after another came over to me and said, I wish somebody cried when I went to seminary. And I'm thinking to myself, besides the fact that that's a very telling comment, I'm thinking to myself, that's not what I spoke about. I spoke about the Yamim Naroim. Did everything I say, was it so incomprehensible that that's the only thing you got out from my talk? You don't even know the subject matter that I spoke about. All you remember is that I cried during Kiddush, which was completely irrelevant to anything else I said. And I realized something very important. So often when I speak or give a shiur, the comments afterward have nothing to do with what I spoke about. It's most often relevant to a off-the-cuff remark that I just happened to say unprepared. And I was thinking about this. Why is that? Why are people not as interested in the subject matter as the off-the-cuff remark? And the answer is very simple. You see, the subject matter was prepared. The subject matter is what I said. The off-the-cuff remark is me. And people are not influenced by what you say. People are influenced by who you are. So I may have this really wonderful drasha, but what really makes an impact on people is who you are and not what you say. Thinking back in my own life of the things that had the biggest impact on me, I'm remembering when I was a teenager, my grandfather, my mother's father, his name was Mr. Shimon Hirschfang, he once told me before Yom HaNaram, he said, "Dani, daven well. The Ribbono Shel Olam listens to your tefillah." He wasn't a rabbi, he wasn't a rav, he was a working person. But he said those words with such conviction, with such heartfelt meaning. These were not words that he said. This is who he was, and it resonated very deeply with me. Parents want to know, what could they do to really influence their children? Children are influenced by you, not by what you say. You need to be authentic. You need to be real. If you're going to come to the Shabbos table, you want to speak about Lashon Hara, so you pick up these Shabbos booklets. I know the schools are very into booklets, they're great, and all the programs. The papers and the sheets and all the... They're not influenced by what you read at the table. They're influenced by your personal conduct, who you are. The Alshech HaKadosh comments, V'shinantam levanecha. You want to be successful in giving over Torah to your children. That will only be v'hoyu hadvarim ha'ela. Asher anoichi mitzavcha hayoim al levavecha. When it's on your heart, then v'shinantam levanecha. But when you're just saying something over, and it's not you, it's just your words, then it will be external to the recipient. It will not really make an impact. I can't help but share with this crowd, Chaverim from Yeshiva Chafetz Chaim, who are craving to hear an amazing insight of the Baal Shem Tov. I know. No, just joking, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We're learning now Daf HaShavua. We just finished Masech Ksubais. And I met someone who told me he saw the personal Gemara of his father, who was a survivor. And on the side of his father's Gemara, in the last Amud of Ksubas, he wrote a note of a tradition in a Pshat in a Rashi from the Baal Shem Tov. I actually had seen it a day or two before in the name of the Imre Emes. And the thought is very powerful. The Gemara in the end of Ksubas talks about Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara speaks about the various practices of the Amoraim. Reb Abba kissed the stones of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, Reb Ami and Reb Asi would go from the sun to the shade and from the shade to the sun. They didn't want to be uncomfortable because if they would be uncomfortable, they may inadvertently criticize the weather and they didn't want to speak badly about Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara says, Reb Chia Bar Gamda, Megander Ba'afra, Reb Chia Bar Gamda would roll in the dust, Shenemar, Kiratsu Avadecha Es Avaneva Safara Yichaynenu. That's the Gemara. Reb Chia Bar Gamda rolled in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, like the Pasuk says, for your servant cherishes her dust. Says Rashi, you ready for this Rashi? Rashi says nothing but quoting the Pasuk, Ki Ratzu Avadecha Es Avaneha Vesafara Yechaynenu. And Rashi omits the word Shenemar. So what's Rashi explaining? Usually Rashi is there to explain a difficult passage, to add biur, to add explanation. All Rashi does is he quotes the pasuk without saying the word shenemar. Says the Baal Shem, if you think the right thing to do is to go to Eretz Yisrael, pick up a stone and kiss it, oh, you know why? Because the Torah says, love the stone. That's fake. That's phony. You're only kissing the stone because the Torah says so, but you don't have genuine feelings toward Eretz Yisrael. So then your entire act of love is just a put-on show because Shenemar. No, that only has value if it's genuine. Not because Shenemar, because you learned the Pasuk and then you engendered a real, genuine love on your own accord. Then you could kiss the stones. This is the nekuda that we're emphasizing. Children, you could go to shul, but children know who you really are. They know if you're genuine, they know if you're authentic, they know if you're for real. And if you are, and it's alev avecha, then you will be successful in v'shinantam levanech. We just read this week, noyach. The man darshined 120 years. It's the longest recorded drasha in history. You would think after a while, he would gather a following. You would think he would have at least a minion of people who accepted his message. Avram Avinu, after all, the Rambam says, had revavos. He had tens of thousands of students. Yet Noach was not successful in influencing, seemingly, even one individual. And there are various approaches. I know the Sfarno at the end of Bereishis. You know, Rav Moshe Scherer wrote a very interesting sefer called B'shtei Einayim. And he says he remembers in one of his classes that he was in yeshiva back in the day. The outcome of many of the Talmidim in the class was a lot to be desired. And the yeshiva was trying to look in what happened with this class. And it turned out that the Jewish teacher of that class, he himself was not fully mamen in the Torah he was teaching. So what do you expect? If the Rebbe isn't mamen, what do you expect from the Talmidim? Says Rav Moshe Scherer, Rashi tells us that af noyach miketane amonahaya, mamen ve'enoy mamen. There was some minuscule deficiency in his own conviction that the Mabul would come. So is there any wonder why he was not successful in influencing people? If this is not who you are, if this is not your conviction, if this is something you're just saying over at the Shabbos table, then how do you expect it to resonate with the next generation? Af noyach miktanei amanahaya. I would like to share with you a revolutionary insight. This is one of the most shocking insights I've ever seen or come across. A very powerful understanding of Akedas Yitzchak. This comes from somebody who is one of the very interesting and powerful mashpiyim in the Jewish world today. Not only one of the powerful mashpiyim, one of the biggest experts in Jewish youth and at-risk youth. A very beloved personality in the Jewish world. One of the great mikubalim today. Rav Gamliel Rabinovich. He has a revolutionary insight in a simple Rashi at the end of Parshas Vayera. You know, Avram Avinu and Yitzchak are walking to the Akedah. But right before that, the Ribon Shem comes to Avram. Vayihi achar hadvarim ha'ela, v'alaykim nisa es Avram, v'yoymer Avraham, Avraham. And what does Avraham say? V'yoymer, hineni, behold, here I am. Says Rashi, what does the word hineni mean? God knew Avraham was there. What's Avraham saying, hineni? Says Rashi, hineni lashon anava v'zimun, a lashon of humility and prepared to fulfill the bidding of Hashem. A little bit later, Avraham and Yitzchak are walking to the Akedah. And Yitzchak's a little bit suspicious. What's going on over here? Where's the sheep? Vayomer Yitzchak el Avraham Aviv. Avi? Dad? Is this really happening? Vayomer! Hineni bini. Behold, here I am. The same word that Avraham used when speaking to the Almighty God, Avraham used when speaking to his child. Says Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, from here we learn that the same humility with which you need to stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam, a parent needs to speak to his child with the same anivos and the same modesty and the same humility that you speak to God. A father and a mother needs to speak to their children. Says Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, you might call me revolutionary, but one thing I could tell you is that I deal with disillusioned children today more than anybody else. And in most cases, one of the primary causes is the child does not feel valued and cherished by the parent. That the child feels the parent maybe speaks down to them or doesn't understand them and does not speak to them. Belashon anivos. Says Rav Gamliel, there is no question that the reason why Avraham Avinu was successful in producing a child the caliber of Yitzchak, producing a child who is the next Gadol Adar, producing one of the Amudei Olam, is because Avraham spoke to his child with humility. Says Rav Gamliel, what we ask our sons and daughters to do today, to ignore the outside world, to ignore the pleasures of the street, and to focus on Torah values and Torah living, that is no less difficult than Akedas Yitzchak. What we ask our sons and daughters to do in 2024, what we expect out of them in our society, that is no less than an Akedah. And if the only way Avraham was successful in equipping a Yitzchak to pass the great Nisan of the Akedah is by empowering him with a feeling of value, by speaking to him, by anivos, then all the more so in our generation we need to do so. You know, if I were to ask you, what's the job description of a father and a mother? Define it. What does it mean to be a tati, an abba, a daddy, a mommy, an ima? What does that mean? What is the definition? Define it. If you were writing the dictionary, Webster's calling you up, how would you define father and mother? Teacher, guide, instructor, role model. Let's turn to someone who the Shita Mekubetzes calls Avihem v'rabam shel Yisrael. Let's turn to Rashi. Let's see how Rashi defines the term Av. You know who uses the word Av? When the brothers were getting nervous that Yosef was going to take revenge against them. So Yosef says, hey, don't sweat it. Vayisimeni le'av le'paroi. God made me Pharaoh's Av. Says Rashi, Av l'chaver u'lepatroin. Friend and supporter. The definition of parent is not a teacher, is not a role model, is not a guide, is not an instructor. Says Rav Shimon Schwab, from the simple word of Rashi, we learn that the definition of father and mother is best friend. Says Rav Schwab, the Pasuk says it openly. Remember the episode of the Mesis in Parshas Re'eh? It talks about various people in your life who may persuade you to sin. It says maybe your husband, your wife, your cousin, Re'acha Asher Kenafshecha, or your best friend. Says Rashi, who's Re'acha Asher Kenafshecha? Says Rashi, Ze'avicha. Your father is Re'acha Asher Kenafshecha. Says Rav Schwab, if you wanted to measure how good of a job am I doing as a parent, the question is, am I my child's closest friend in this world? That is the main barometer of determining one's role as a father and mother. And if this sounds surprising to you, I found in the Kol Kisvei Chafetz Chaim that the Chafetz Chaim's son describes his relationship with his father. The Chafetz Chaim's son write that when he would walk with his father in the street, people would think they were brothers from the great closeness that the Chafetz Chaim displayed to his children. So this is also something that we need to cultivate in our times, because as important as this was in the times of Rashi, and as important as this was perhaps in the times of Rav Schwab, today our children need our dear friendship more than ever. And this is a critical ingredient in being successful in raising children. Here's another. You know, the Gemara tells us that if somebody kills by accident, so we send them to the Ari Mikla, we send them to the city of refuge, and they have to stay there for quite a while until the demise of the high priest of the Kohen Gadol. And the question is, well, what does the Kohen Gadol have to do with this? Why does the person who killed accidentally, b'shoigeg, why do they have to stay there until the demise of the Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara says, well, the Kohen Gadol should have prayed that under his auspices, something like this would not have happened. So therefore, we keep the unintentional murderer in the Ari Miklat until the demise of the Kohen Gadol, as if to say, hey, Kohen Gadol, it's your fault. You should have prayed that this didn't happen. So Rav Volba asks, since when is the Kohen Gadol responsible to pray that while he's working in the Beis HaMikdash, nobody kills unintentionally? Nobody kills b'shoigeg? This is the job of the Kohen Gadol? Where does it say in Parshas Emor? Where does it say in Kedoshim that the job of a Kohen Gadol is to pray, is to daven, that nobody throws an axe up and then the blade doesn't fall on somebody? That's the job of the Kohen Gadol. He has to put the Ketores in the right place. He has to bring the sacrifices in the right place. Since when is this the job of the Kohen Gadol? Says Rav Volba, from this Gemara we see a great principle that when you're in a position of responsibility, your main tafkid and your main job is to pray for those you are responsible for. And therefore, says Rav Volbe, the main job of a father and a mother is to pray for their children. And we're not just talking about an Ahava Rabba, and we're not just talking about in Uvalatzio in Lamanloi Nigalarik. This means all day long. You're stopped at a red light, you're praying for your children. You're driving carpool, you're praying for your children. You're pushing the carriage in the store, you're davening for your children. The main responsibility and tafkid of a father and mother is to daven for your children. They asked the Brisker Rav in the early days in Israel, when there were many Rosh Yeshiva who did not necessarily fare well with their children in the early days of the state, and the Brisker Rav, Kayadua, each one of his children remained on the straight and the narrow, as they say, and they would ask the Brisker Rav, what's your trick? What's your technique? Brisker Rav said, never in my life did I ever daven one dry-eyed Shmoneh Esrei. Every Shmoneh Esrei I davened, I cried bitter tears for the welfare of my children. He said, many parents, they rock their kids to sleep. People want to know why kids have so much anxiety. Maybe it's because when the parents rock them to sleep, they sing them nursery rhymes about people rolling down hills and having their heads decapitated. Says the Brisker Rav, I didn't sing nursery rhymes. When I put my children to sleep, I would say Tehillim, that they grow up being God-fearing Jews. Bali midos toivos. I'll end with one story, one of my favorites. So parents would come to the stipler and say, stipler, do you have an etza for chinuch habanim? A technique? Should we go to classes? Should we learn skills? Stipler would say, there are no techniques, there are no skills. There's tears and tehillim. He says, you see Chaimel over here, Chaim Knievsky, you see Chaimel, every day I daven that this boy should be a God-fearing Jew learning Torah, Balei Midos, Toivos. Reb Chaim already was 52 years old, one of the Gedolei Hadar. So the job and the responsibility of a parent begins even before they're born. And the job, Be'ezus Hashem, continues past when you walk them down to the chuppah. These are the spiritual investments we make in our children. They're influenced by us, by who we are, by our genuine self. Whenever we pray for our children, if you'll notice, we always first pray for ourselves. First we say, Hu yiftach libeinu b'sayr asay, Ribbono Shel Olam, open up my heart in your Torah, and only then, Laman lo niga lo rik lo ne lo bahala, let it be passed down to my children. We say at the end of Baruch Shemei, we say, Hu yiftach libeinu b'sayr asay, open up my heart, and only then, v'seihav li benin dichrin de avdin ru'usach. If you'll notice, whenever there's a tefillah for our children, it's v'harev na Hashem alekeinu estibes rascha b'finu, and only then v'niya anachnu v'tzatzainu. So Be'ezus Hashem, in the zchus of coming together this evening, in the zchus of your partnership with this wonderful yeshiva, Yeshiva Tferes Moshe, may Hashem bless all of us with the nachas that we're hoping for. Be'ezus Hashem, Hashem should be mekabel all of our tefillos. We should all merit banim uvnei banim oiske matar v'mitzvos meirim es ha'olam b'atayra uvamasim tovim agadavach. Thank you very much.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.